Welcome to Trustworthy AI, De-risked Business Adoption of AI, hosted by Pamela Gupta, a leading voice in business strategy, technology, and cybersecurity. With extensive experience in global industry leadership, Pamela has explored critical themes like achieving business value with AI by adopting a holistic risk-based approach to AI trust. She defined 8 essential pillars of trustworthy AI. Read more details at the trustedai.ai website. Her insights have shaped the way we look at the impact of cyber warfare on business, strategies for efficient digital transformation, and governance views on algorithmic failures. Join Pamela as she delves into her signature framework, AI Tips, standing for Artificial Intelligence Transparency, Integrity, Privacy, and Security. This podcast is all about operationalizing governance and building trustworthy AI systems from the ground up. Whether you're an industry professional or just AI curious, Trustworthy AI offers thought-provoking discussions and expert insights to guide the ethical future of technology.
Hello, and welcome to our show on Trustworthy AI, De-risk Business Adoption of Artificial Intelligence. This episode, we are focused on a very controversial yet important topic of adoption of facial recognition. I'm Pamela Gupta, CEO of Trusted AI and host for this series, and I'm here talking to Daniel Eberle. Really briefly, the risk that why is facial recognition a controversial technology, and can we use it intentionally with the guardrails, the right guardrails in place to protect us from what can happen? What are the mishaps or the risks? Some of the risks, as we know, are very high risks. Considered around around privacy and ethical risks. So the privacy and ethical risks associated with facial recognition technology are significant, as we know, and they are broader reaching than just a couple of things that they're multifaceted. They not only relate to the technology's accuracy and the potential for misuse of the technology, but also involves deeper issues such as around consent, could be bias, definitely bias, and have impact on broader society, including surveillance issue. So in order to solve for, we're going to be focused on a couple of things, which are bias and discrimination, and algorithmic bias, where FRS systems may misidentify certain demographics, for example, at a higher rate. What causes that? How do you rectify that? How do you put in controls to mitigate some of these risks? How can we avoid leading to misuse of this technology? Because they, as with anything else, risk mitigation is always about people, process, and technology. So we have an expert here, and I'm really happy to introduce Daniel Eberle, who is one of the leaders in deployment of ethical AI. Welcome, Daniel, and I'd love to have you introduce yourself further, please.
Thank you, Kamala. So my background is that I have an MBA in security management. I've worked at security research centers across the United States, and I've been focused primarily on artificial intelligence and the deployment of it since 2019. I currently work alongside the EU Council in some of their workshops. I sit with the Security Industry Association's Facial Recognition Working Group, and I'm also part of the Technology Integrity Council based out of DC. So just helping countries, governments around the world deploy this kind of technology ethically in a way which benefits communities and societies around the world.
Okay, thank you. And can you tell me about your company as well?
Yeah, so IREX, we are a global company. Basically, we're an AI smart city platform. So we connect to every available camera. So that doesn't matter which brand, make, or model. And then we unify all these cameras under a single platform, And then basically whatever happens under surveillance, we're able to trigger an alert. So for a specific event, specific vehicle or specific person. And also we've got a Google-like search surveillance. So you can upload a photo of an individual, partial license plate, or search for an event across every single camera. And it will show you if and when that event or person or vehicle has appeared or occurred.
Okay, wow, that's really interesting to hear, and you know, the functionality and what all, you know, is possible. Brings us to the beginning of the introduction on this, right? Where the risks are and the value is equally dependent not only on the platform but also on how it is used and how it what are the controls that one can put in place. So let's talk about bias, right? Algorithmic bias. Is that possible in facial recognition technology? And what is the reason for that?
Yeah, they definitely can be biased. I think a lot of people often try to look for the data sets. And of course, that is a component of it. But in reality, it's simple physics. From the angle of the camera and the lighting and the quality of the camera really depicts what is possible. If a human eye can spot it under surveillance, generally artificial intelligence can, definitely IREX can. So one thing which people have to take into consideration when it comes to the bias is the angle of the camera and the lighting, because it's easier to spot a lighter skinned individual under light lighting than it is to spot a darker skinned individual in poor lighting. So it boils down to a lot of simple physics. And so that's where it's crucial where this kind of deployment, where this kind of AI module is deployed, is that it's in optimal scenarios to be able to get the most accurate results.
And that depends on the lighting and also on the color of the skin, as you mentioned, right?
Well, yeah. So the lighting, it's just from, it's simple physics, because like if you're trying to spot somebody with lighter skin and it's in a light setting, that's kind of like optimal, because like the human eye can easily detect that. But when you're trying to spot somebody with a darker skin tone, and it's in, let's say, a darker scenario, you're not going to get as accurate results. So people like to focus on the data sets a lot, but what people have to take into consideration really is the simple physics surrounding the environment where the cameras are deployed.
Yeah, that's a really important point to note for those who are deploying the technology and how much trust they place in the what is being recorded, for example, right? So it's interesting. That's really an interesting point about both the angle as well as the property of the context and the situation and the situation, for example. What can we do to make this more reliable, or is there a way to counteract or balance it out technologically? And I'll talk about, you know, how we can do it programmatically, right, through a process, to have a process in place, for example, to see if there is more confidence, for example, in a particular shot or a scene captured, for example.
Yeah, so for example, you can play with the parameters. So generally, the rule of thumb is, especially with IREX, when we spot an individual, we set the parameters at 60%. So anything over 60%, we trigger the alert. The higher that you go with that, the more accurate results. The lower that you go, you're going to get people with similar demographic features. So that's one of the components. You can put the percentage rate, you know, like the AI is 60% sure, 65% sure, but then you can switch that to like 80% sure. You only receive the alerts if the AI is over 80% sure. And then on the flip side of that, it's all about why you're using this kind of technology as well. We have to use it in a way that promotes well-being of societies and communities and really benefits communities. There's been some early deployments of the kind of technology in ways which are grey areas, because I think that this kind of technology, you look at 20 years into the future, this facial recognition is going to be in every camera. The ability to have facial recognition is going to be in every camera. So we have to start in a way where it's something, we have to set the foundations which society gets on board with. And so first and foremost is why we're using this technology is the first question. And the second question is, how do we ensure that we get this right? And that's where you can play with the parameters. But the AI is only used as a tool. The AI should never be used as the final decision. And that's where you can have people validated that actually the AI is 84% sure that Pamela's appeared under surveillance and Pamela's missing. Okay, let's take a look. The AI has detected her. Let's take a look. Let's compare. Actually, we think that this definitely is Pamela. We should act upon this. And then there is organizations such as Super Recognizers, which are around the world, and they have teams which have specialized skill sets to be able to compare what the photo of the individual and who the individual is to then the actual event where the individual appeared.
So you've said a couple of things that I think are really important for me to highlight. One is, yes, what is driving the use, right? What is the context? What is the rationale or the motivation for using the technology? The second is, what is the confidence in terms of, depending on the, you know, some of the parameters you mentioned, which was the lighting, the color, the quality, the percentage of the identification of, you know, how likely was it a certain match was found or not. And the third is the process, right? How is it being used to determine if it had 80%, and what is the depending on the context. So if you're looking for some like a missing individual, if you know, are you okay with what is the business context or what is the use context that will drive the risk determination on what is acceptable in terms of the accuracy? But the last point you made, I think, stands out to me even more, which is the skill set of the individuals who are looking at the output and determining what to do next with it. What is the action that it will influence, the technology will influence? Right? Do you agree with that?
So it's all about why we're using this technology, and it has to be deployed, because I think any futurist, any technology experts, anybody that kind of lives in the real world and has seen what's going on, understands that once technology is out, it very rarely goes back in the box. So we have to understand in 10, 20 years' time, this is going to be the norm. So we have to get the foundations right. So when you're talking about the case studies of how to use this technology, it has to be set on foundations which societies and communities agree with. So right now, there has been some deployments of trying to find known shoplifters and so forth. In my opinion, that starts in the grey area, because there is bigger issues that the AI can be used for good. An example is missing children. We have an epidemic right now across the United States in regards to missing children. I think Cleveland alone, early this year, 50 kids went missing. So now, having cameras which are equipped to try and find these missing children and also non-compliant sex offenders, I think that 99.9% of people would be on board with that. Right now, to be able to find shoplifters is in the grey area. We have to start and use this technology in a way which everybody agrees. We cannot just be focusing straight away on Okay, let's try and find shoplifters because that saves obviously the bottom line and so forth. If there is local businesses, if there is local cities and so forth, if they're using this technology transparently and the community know why they're using it, there's going to be a lot more success in the long run rather than just trying to get this kind of technology deployed to get those quick wins, because ultimately it's fallible. And we've seen that in the news recently, where there was people that have been misidentified as known shoplifters, such as Rite Aid and other known businesses. And so it's starting at that grey area when really what we have to be doing as a society, as technology providers, as users, is starting in a way which we all agree upon. And so those parameters in regards to who receives the alerts and why we receive the alerts is extremely important, and it has to be transparent.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. The transparency, right, around that it is being used, because it is, when it comes to the separation from public and private use of the technology, and to your point that it is becoming more and more ubiquitous, right? It's not even a question of does it have it, or does a new camera have it, or will it have the capability in a couple of years? That's not even the question. The fact is it will. But how do we deploy this and how do we use it? That's really where those guardrails come into play. In terms of the business adoption of this technology, which could be in so many different areas, whether it's in cafeterias or for near cash registers, in the retail, as we saw, in workplaces for emotional, emotive AI, for example, and seeing if people are happy, et cetera. So the use cases can be really, really broad. And when it comes to the society, the business use, it does depend on the motivation. What is it that is, what's the purpose? And what is, let's say it is for detecting misuse or misbehavior in a setting, then what can be done with that detection is really where it comes down to, right? So example, doing an arrest, for example, is a bit extreme based on something that is a facial recognition. And to your point earlier too, right? Which is, it's going to be certain, there's going to be degrees of accuracy. And depending on that, it should be helping or enable decision-making, not be the decision maker. That's really important to have here. Love to talk about some of the positive outcomes that you are seeing out there with facial recognition technology. And then did they have, what kind of process was wrapped around it as well?
So yeah, so there's been many positive outcomes when it comes to the use of AI modules. So for example, now we've talked about facial recognition, but artificial intelligence modules basically means whatever happens in surveillance, you're able to receive an alert for. So whether that be a car accident, whether that be a vandalism, whether that be a person falling down. Most recently, we had somebody fall. We work a lot with railways and metros. We had somebody fall on the tracks. The AI picked it up instantly. This person was actually disabled in a wheelchair. They was able then to trigger an alert so that they was able to contact the train coming in to slow down, so they were able to rescue that person. So there is that's just one use case, but basically I keep going back to it, is that the deployment of this kind of technology, we're at really a knife's edge with it, because it has to be deployed in a way which benefits people, benefits society, benefits communities. And Like I said, the missing children epidemic, whether it's also find dementia patients, people are going missing a lot. And obviously in the United States, there is a massive open border crisis. And a lot of people are talking about coming into the country. People are talking about all the people which are actually getting out of the country, including children. So now resources happen when a person is missing for over 72 hours. Basically, resources go down to zero unless the family have got their own resources. So now to equip cameras within communities, within cities, to have databases of missing children. So now you've got cameras which never sleep. And so you can be looking constantly to try and find these people that have been missing for a specific period of time. And so we've had large successes around the world in regards to that. And so it all boils down to the ethical use of the technology, because there has to be guidelines and frameworks, and there has to be accountability for the users. And that's why with IREX, we built it transparency by design, meaning that every action which a user does using this kind of technology is logged, meaning all users can ultimately be audited.
Oh, that's great. So you touched upon a lot of the, the essential pillars of trustworthy AI that I had defined 5 years ago, which is transparency, lack of bias, accountability, and ethics, of course, we're talking about. Let's talk about security and privacy also, which are also pillars of trustworthy AI. I think in terms of, it's great that there is logging and there is, the ability to get that insight, which is often not, one cannot take that for granted, that all applications or all systems that are providing functionality such as this have good logging in place, where you can see what is being tracked, who's doing, and who's looking at the information, for example. Is that what you mean as well? So in terms of the system usage and implementation, there is ability to take a look at who are the users who have access to their data and what are they doing with it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's every use of this kind of technology we built is transparent, meaning like every action which a user takes is logged. That's got to be crucial, because the frameworks which we put in place to begin with have to be the foundations which everybody agrees with. Because ultimately, the dystopian future is that they are looking for people because they put a bad tweet out, which doesn't align with their political campaign, you know? And that's something what obviously China is renowned for. We can take a look at China, and China's a fantastic case study of what we don't want the West to become like. And so it's all about using it as a foundation for good. And we use it in a way, because it's a very slippery slope, because once you start opening the doors for just like a one case study, like for example, if you're trying to find, I like to use, and all the data shows that societies get on board with two things: finding missing children / missing people, and then also non-compliant sex offenders. So those are the two databases which societies benefit from. Because now you can protect your communities from non-compliant sex offenders. These are sex offenders that have gone rogue, that haven't checked back in. So generally, people would want to know if they're in their communities or near their schools. And then secondly, is finding missing children and missing people. Because this is a revolutionary tool. It's been described as a revolutionary tool by Department of Homeland Security in regards to combating those issues. So we start with those parameters, but we don't want to deviate from them too quickly or too soon without fully understanding the technology. The biggest problem, what we're seeing around the world, and especially in the United States, is the lack of knowledge and lack of expertise, especially from the public sector. So when the public sector don't fully understand the technology and don't have expertise in-house, it's being driven from the private sector. So for example, IREX, we've coined ethical AI, and we've built out the frameworks which have been used not only by police departments, but also governments around the world. So very much the drivers of using this kind of technology ethically is actually coming from the private sector. So it's a kind of a merge of private and public sector.
That's great. That is really good to know and hear that from you, because I don't know if all the companies who are preparing or producing technology in the facial recognition space are that aware of the repercussions as well as the ethical issues that can be taken proactively into account to prevent mishaps. So I'd like to thank you, Daniel. This has been a really interesting talk, and I appreciate all the information that you are sharing and the facets that you are looking at, right? It is multifaceted, like I said in the beginning. It goes way beyond just technology. It's the adoption. It's the technology itself, which will continue to get more and more accurate and can do more both benefits and can have more benefits and more harm. So how we use it and what are the some of the considerations that you outlined are really, really important for everyone to consider.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. And hope your listeners, Pamela, got something from this. And yeah, it's, this kind of technology is coming, whether we like it or not. It's all about using it for good and using it in ways which benefit us.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.